Hare Krishna. Today is the holy disappearance day of ISKCON's founder Acharya. Give to us another one. Is he about to?
Yes, it is.
Okay. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON BBT founder Acharya. We will have three speakers today. It's nice to also hear from Srila Prabhupada's grand disciples what it means to them, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. So we thought to introduce that this year. Generally speaking, Prabhupada's disciples speak on this day, but pretty soon we're not all going to be here, so we got to get them in practice, right? At noontime, there will be Pushpanjali. Prabhupada liked Pushpanjali to be noontime sharp. With his spiritual master, he was quite strong. Then we will have Kirtan and the Artik, and tonight will be the evening Artik at 7 o'clock, and at 7:30, that's the time between 7:25 and 7:30. According to Vishaka, she was there. She said it was actually 7:27. That Srila Prabhupada, he withdrew his Prakat Lila from our eyes. So we will offer Artik to Srila Prabhupada then. And after that, devotees will have a chance to offer some prayer to Srila Prabhupada if they so desire. And we'll also have bhajans in the mood of glorifying Srila Prabhupada until the evening artik, and that can continue until the final artik is finished. Shishuradha Gopinath ki jai. So I'd like to encourage everyone to participate as much as they can according to their services, etc., in this holy day. Although it's Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we can also invoke his appearance within our heart. I'll read the translation to this beautiful poem, Lamentation Due to Separation from the Lord and His Associates, and then our Radhadesh Apsara will lead us in this prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Madhu, Madhu, Madhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vinod. When we hear of the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, or when we try to observe it, we make a natural reference to Shastra. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote a drama of the time Srila Prabhupada left. And within that drama, there was another drama. Does anybody remember who was being dramatized within that drama? Pardon me? No, he wrote another one. He wrote one about, it's Bhishma Dev. It was interesting. He made a dramatic presentation of the time around Srila Prabhupada's disappearance and Prabhupada's disappearance. It was very nicely written. I mean, I heard it the first time in Vrindavan, quite some time after Srila Prabhupada had left. And it must have really been, because, you know, Tumal Krishna, whenever he did something, he did it very well. So this dramatic presentation was written in a way to evoke the feelings of separation. So I was in a, it's one of the few times that in public I completely lose control. I was just sitting over by the, in front of Radha Shama Sundar, there was a big donation box. I was kind of trying to hide behind it because it was like my head was like a squashed watermelon. There was water coming out of everywhere because there was so much rasa, feeling of separation being evoked, especially according to that drama. Srila Prabhupada was visiting London for the last time, and the devotees put on a drama. This didn't actually happen, but this is a dramatic representation of the, of Bhishma Dev's departure, or the time before, and it's just written with so much expertise that I just found myself falling apart with feelings of separation from Srila Prabhupada, although it was Bhishma Dev that was being dramatized, a drama within the drama. So since that time, I've always connected Srila Prabhupada's departure with Bhishma Dev. And so I'd like to read a verse from Bhishma Dev's prayers and his purport. We can start by chanting, invoking the mercy of the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 24. Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows, and Krishna is actually right there. Amazing. And he says many prayers, and this is one of the prayers he says. I usually cite one of the prayers on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, so today I chose this one. Bhishma Dev is saying, may my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly await me at that moment when I quit this material body. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhishma Dev knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayan. His worshipable deity was four-handed Narayan, but he knew that four-handed Narayan is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Sri Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayan. A Vaishnava is always humble in his behavior. Although it was 100% certain that Bhishma Dev was approaching Vaikuntha Dham just after leaving his material body, still, as a humble Vaishnava, he desired to see the beautiful face of the Lord, for after quitting the present body, he might not be in a position to see the Lord anymore. A Vaishnava is not puffed up, although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode. Here, Bhishma Dev says, as long as I do not quit this body. This means that the great general would quit his body by his own will. He was not being forced by the laws of nature. He was so powerful that he could stay in his body as long as he desired. He got this benediction from his father. He made a great sacrifice for his father. Remember the sacrifice he made? What? He took a vow of what? Yeah, lifelong celibacy. So his father could have a particular damsel as his wife. For a kshatriya to make such, for anyone to make such a vow is quite amazing. And for a kshatriya, it's phenomenal. The kshatriyas are very passionate by nature. Bhishma Dev desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan feature so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be in trance in that meditation. Then his mind might be sanctified with thinking of the Lord. Thus, he did not mind wherever he might go. A pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to Godhead, to the kingdom of God. He entirely depends on the goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. We know that's true because on the first Gaur Purnim that Srila Prabhupada was here, he was in New York, and he was observing Gaur Purnim, and he was saying, writing there, that he knows that now in Gaur Mandala all kinds of wonderful celebrations are going on, and he was feeling separation. But on the other hand, he said, I am here in this horrible place by the order of my guru, and I'm prepared to go to hell for my guru. And he did that. Only one place besides hell, besides London, is called hell. You remember what Prabhupada said? They asked Prabhupada his conception of hell. He said London is hell. Because Prabhupada's from in the West, we're used to the cold weather, so we think of hell as a very hot place. But in London, but here from India, they think of hell as a very cold place, dark, no sun. The reporter asked Prabhupada, "Do you have any idea of what hell is?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, London is hell." But Prabhupada was very expert at shocking people, not for the sake of shocking them, but for simply getting his message across. He's equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. The only desire that a pure devotee entertains is that he may always be in rapt attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. Bhishma Dev wanted this much only, that his mind be absorbed in thinking of the Lord and that he pass away thus. That is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood for sure. Prabhupada only wanted to be totally absorbed in serving the Lord's command and in meditation on the Lord. And not only that, not necessarily even the Lord, but his spiritual master. He was completely convinced that his spiritual master was Krishna's representative, and he wanted to particularly be absorbed in glorifying his spiritual master and always remembering the instruction of a spiritual master. In another place in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that if one is fully dedicated to the spiritual master, that is the same as seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And when I was reading this, I was remembering that quality of Srila Prabhupada and how he was so devoted to his spiritual master. And I thought I'd like to also share with you a Vyasa Puja offering he wrote, the concluding paragraph of a Vyasa Puja offering he wrote on the appearance day of his spiritual master some years after Prabhupada's departure. This was in Bombay. And he's talking about his spiritual master. He said, "Personally, I have no hope for any direct service for the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life." So Prabhupada didn't think he was also going back to Godhead. "But I am confident that some day or other I shall be delivered from this mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk." So Prabhupada was in his lila as an entangled grihastha. "Therefore, let me, with all my earnestness, pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to allow me to suffer the lot for which I am destined due to my past misdoings." So a devotee thinks like that. He thinks, why should Krishna just take me back to Godhead? Why shouldn't I pay my dues before I go, even if it's minimally? Because that's what happens when a devotee receives initiation. He still has, the plug is unpulled from his karma, but whatever residual reactions he may have to experience, he does that gladly. It's the least I can do. I left Krishna. Whatever happens after this, and now Krishna's accepted me back. So whatever happens is certainly in the Lord's mercy, and I should embrace it gladly. And this was Prabhupada's mood. He says, "But Please let me have this power of recollection that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my Divine Master. Let me therefore bow down at his lotus feet with all the humility at my command. This is Prabhupada. This is a very powerful meditation. There's another person, when we think of Prabhupada's disappearance days, there's another great soul from Chaitanya Lila whose departure is observed with great detail. And who reminds us of Prabhupada, yes? Yes. I'd like to read a few verses about Haridas Thakur's departure and how Lord Chaitanya felt. And it's interesting because we can relate to how Lord Chaitanya's feeling, at least to some degree. It resonates with our feelings of separation from Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya said, after the departure of Haridas Thakur, he said, "Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, the Lord has now broken that association." Does it resonate with Prabhupada's departure, Rasamala Prabhu? Remember, we were praying to every day, "My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please save Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada was Shishirada Gopinath Ki Jai. And Srila Prabhupada was, I remember we were on traveling Sankirtan, and we used to go on traveling Sankirtan for long periods of time. And then sometimes our temple president would come out to visit us. And when he came out to visit us one time, he had just been to Srila Prabhupada, and he was there when Srila Prabhupada said he would stay for 10 more years. And he drank that whole glass of grape juice. And you know, he was telling us, and we were like just so much in ecstasy. And it wasn't so long after that that Prabhupada actually left. So that Krishna wanted Prabhupada to come back, it was his independent desire. And he broke that association by his desire. Prabhupada was completely surrendered to the will of Krishna. "When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away, exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire, as we have heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, the world is now bereft of its valuable jewel." Srila Prabhupada was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sometimes we hear or we see in modern journals the 100 most influential people, right? We hear about this and we think, why isn't Prabhupada in that list? He should be on top of the list. Of course, it will take some time. Bhakti Churu Maharaj often gives the example that when you're living on a mountain, you're used to being on the mountain. You may not realize how big it is, but the more you step back from the mountain, the more you realize that that is one big mountain. So similarly, as time separates us from Prabhupada's lila in this world, Prabhupada's greatness will be more and more revealed. We meet so many people who say, "Were you there when Srila Prabhupada was there?" Or how they wish they could have been there. Many of them probably were there. But because their attachment for Srila Prabhupada is very strong. But they feel separation from Srila Prabhupada. And they know more and more his glories are being magnified or maybe being realized. And I remember when 2 years ago we had we observed Prabhupada's disappearance day. Maharadwati was here. Does anybody remember that, who was here at that time? And Maharadwati knew this would be the last time that she would be able to observe Prabhupada. Did she come again the next year? She was still here. She's just hanging. Yeah, she left, actually, she left a few months later. Yeah, she couldn't make it here at that time. But that was quite moving, and she was just talking about how Srila Prabhupada was always there in her life. And that was quite moving. And also Vishakha was there, and she made one comment about the final lila of Srila Prabhupada. She said, "It's hard to convey to you the emotion of those days. We were hanging on each sip." Prabhupada would drink something. on each word and just wrapped up in Prabhupada consciousness, I wish I had the words to put you there more. Words are so limited. So she was trying to convey to us what it was like to be so absorbed in Prabhupada consciousness at that time. Very bittersweet, but very intense. And that feeling of separation is more blissful than anything that you can experience. Another person who talks about Prabhupada's disappearance day with great feeling is Burijan Prabhu. Who has read Burijan's book, My Glorious Master? It's a wonderful book. Burijan considers himself to be a rank-and-file devotee. For us rank-and-file devotees, it's very ecstatic to hear from Burijan Prabhu about Prabhupada's, his relation with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's departure. So he said, in November 1977, 3 days after observing Sri Govardhana Puja, I was with Drishtadyumna in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We heard that Prabhupada had left this world. So I've been reading a little bit about what it's like in the Shastra when great devotees leave. Now we can hear from Prabhupada's devotees, his disciples, how they experience this. He said, we cried, we consoled the younger devotees, we lectured about the passing of our beloved Prabhupada, but we could not conceive of the significance of Prabhupada's departure. We knew the philosophy. We had studied, practiced, and lectured on it for years. We knew that Vani was more important than Vapu, that imbibing the spiritual master's instructions was much more important than associating with the spiritual master's physical form, from which we may be separated from at any time. Prabhupada was always saying that, I will leave at any time. In fact, there was many times when we thought that he would leave. But finally, of course, he did. We knew this, but when Prabhupada actually left, no philosophy gave us shelter. He was our shelter. He was the person Bhagavat, the giver of the book Bhagavatat, and he had set like the sun from this world. Who would pull us out of Maya when we stumbled? Who would give us another chance? To whom could we write and be overjoyed at being handed a yellowish aerogram striped in orange and blue with Tridandi Goswami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami written on its back in that special purple-red ink? Upon whose feet could we place our heads as he patted our shikas with the affection of a loving father? We cried intermittently for days and weeks and months. We clung to his instructions and our memories of him. We had no choice. This death is a very final thing. We know, even when we know dear ones or devotees who are going to leave, I remember when Rupa Manjari's husband was about to leave, still when we heard that he had left, it's so final. It's always a shock because death is, we're not supposed to experience that thing. But as devotees, it's an opportunity for us to go deeper into our devotion for Guru and Krishna, our appreciation of devotees. He said, oh, how we miss that personality, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, our Lord and Holy Master, our dearest friend, our most concerned Father, how we miss Him. We were mere children when He left this world. Although His blessings continuously rain upon us as He promised, and although we do not feel He is actually gone, how we miss that personality. I think we can all relate to that, right? It's achincha beta beta tattva. While He was in this world, I asked Him about the trivial, the foolish, and the mundane. What could a baby with His small hands and limited consciousness beg from Krishna's dearest devotee? It is now many years since His departure. I have been His disciple for many years. Still, I can only glimpse His greatness, which seems, regardless of how I grow, to always loom ahead like a great mountain peak. Same metaphor that Bhakti Chumar's used. Feeling like an elderly orphan, I long for His association more and more. I pray for His eternal service. So, very moving glorification of Srila Prabhupada. I remember when Srila Prabhupada left, different devotees that I was associating with responded in different ways, according to their capacity, according to their adhikar, according to their nature. Myself personally, which is my tendency when something very painful happens, I just go numb. I don't want to feel these feelings. It's too much. Some of my friends just went into hysterical tears, and I was thinking, I wish I could do like that. But we all felt one thing. We felt great grief and great lamentation. I remember we were on traveling Sankirtan. I was in Chicago at the time, and our temple president, he came out. And I just stayed up the whole night wandering around like a ghost. And I was thinking, he could come back if he wanted to. And wish against, you know, maybe if we pray enough, he'll come back. Because he can do anything. Prabhupada can do anything. Kind of went a little bit crazy for a while. So that was different devotees had this different feelings of separation. Then in due course of time, we also had the different experiences of Srila Prabhupada is still with us. But on this day, it's a sober day. There's a kind of spiritual rasa that we can experience. One devotee was telling me, we're going to celebrate the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. We're not going to celebrate the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. We're going to observe it. Oh, yes, yes, he said, right, I just wasn't thinking what I said. So today we can make an extra effort to remember our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That's why it's nice to write a prayer. Rasamana Prabhu was wondering about this because we only usually do this on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. So we don't really have a fully fixed way of observing Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. Sometimes we look at the video. When Vishakha was here, we saw the video, but we don't always want to see the video because it is quite intense. So I hope it's okay with the devotees that this year, this evening, we'll get a chance to offer some prayers to Srila Prabhupada, and we'll sing bhajans to him. And for the following year, any suggestions you have are always welcome, and we can consider how to best associate with Srila Prabhupada. The standard things will be there, the evening arti, the Pushpanjali, but other time we can decide. So thank you very much for listening patiently. Now I'd like to invite Upa Manjari to share with us. But he prefers to go at the end, he said.
Om Akanatimarandasya Yanyanyana Salakya Saksuro Militam Jinai Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was asked to speak about on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and I always find it very difficult to do so because it is a very emotional day, especially for me and I think for many of you, because we were not in the opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada personally. But I like to contemplate a little bit on what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Srila Prabhupada has given us these wonderful books that we can read about Krishna and that we can at least uplift ourselves with the help of so many wonderful devotees. He also gave his disciples to us to enliven us and to help us in our spiritual life. And many of you have taken shelter of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And with that shelter, we can come closer to Srila Prabhupada. This year especially was a very special year for me, because I decided to do some extra service and to come closer to Srila Prabhupada and to be more and more connected with Prabhupada. When I going over the folio and read Srila Prabhupada's lectures, his conversations, and his letters, it is very inspiring to me to see how Srila Prabhupada was making such a tremendous effort to travel over the world to enliven his disciples. He is going in 1 or 2 or 3 days from one place, from the other side of the world, to the other side of the world. He's more hours in an airplane as that he is standing with his feet on the floor, because to enliven his disciples and to encourage them in their spiritual life. And his disciples nowadays are trying to do the same and helping us to enliven us in our spiritual life and to connect us with the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. A few days ago, Parthasarathy was giving such a wonderful class and speaking about Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was giving the books and was giving his disciples. And also he was explaining that in New York, in Tompkins Square Park, there is the tree where Srila Prabhupada was start ISKCON under this wonderful tree. And he was explaining to us, and I was really touched, that every day the tree gets a garland. And nobody knows who is making the garland or hang the garland on that tree. He said, even when you come in the morning or you come in the evening, the garland stays fresh. Net of someone just put it on. And I was meditating on that. And I was thinking, oh my God, who in the spiritual world is coming down to give Srila Prabhupada's tree and garland to remember us that there, on that particular place, everything starts happening. And believe it or not, I was meditating. I was thinking, okay, I went to India 15 times in my life because of Srila Prabhupada. I should never have gone to India when Srila Prabhupada was not coming in my life through his Vani and through his disciples. It was not any importance to me to travel so much. I was very much attached to my little village and stay with my family. I was go to travel. I didn't was really inspired to travel. But Srila Prabhupada kicked me out of my comfort zone and he sent me to India many, many times and do a lot of tapasya. I was there for many months sometimes and do a lot of service because I want to feel close to Srila Prabhupada. And a few days ago, one Mataji came from New Vrindavan and she knocked on my door and she said, Rupa Manjari Mataji, I have something for you. And I thought, okay. She said, close your eyes. And I was thinking, okay, now it becomes really serious. She said, put your hands open. And I was doing that. And she put something in my hand what feels like a bark. And I'm wearing these barks. And I was thinking, another bark? When I opened my eyes, in my hands was a piece of bark from the tree from New York, from Tompkins Square Park. And she said, I caught it in New Vrindavan from a devotee, and I immediately knew I have to give it to you. And I was thinking, oh my God, I start crying. And I was thinking, that cannot be true. Because for many years, I desired to go through that tree. to embrace that tree that will cure everything, not only physical, but also mentally and also emotional, everything what is wrong in me. And I was thinking, when I can go there, I will embrace that tree. But now the tree came to me. But I was thinking, I don't want to keep it for myself. This is a very special day, and I brought the peace. And personally, I want to put it on all of your head, because it's the only thing what I can do for you. And I was thinking, you can feel the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You can feel his compassion for us, fallen souls, who came so late, but not too late. That's what I want to share with you. And here is the piece of bark. Can you imagine? That came from that tree where Srila Prabhupada is sitting under, chanting Hare Krishna and starting ISKCON for us. For us. Don't forget, this little piece will save us to go to a lower piece of in consciousness. This piece will save us on the time of death. And I ask my daughter to put it on my head when I leave. And she said, I will do. Because I said, don't let it burn to ashes. Later on, share it with the devotees. It cannot go in my coffin, but put it on my head when I'm chanting Hare Krishna on the time of death. And I will put it on your head now. Not because you are leaving your body soon. I hope not. Because I want for the rest of my life your association, because I need it so badly. I will come around and I will share it with you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I cannot speak longer, because then I start crying and everyone start crying and becomes not so nice, you know. Better to stop here. Okay? Jai.
I guess it must be a special tree. Desire tree? Gyana Timurandasya Tinandana Shalakaya Chakshula Militang Jaina Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you, Mother Jayabhadra and Rupa Manjari. I'd like to begin with a little bit of a few thoughts about the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada and also relate just a few events from his life. I was thinking there is a conception within human society generally that love has the power to transcend all limitations. I'm thinking about high mountains and deep rivers and other superlatives about love's ability to actually transcend time and space. One consideration is that actually all of us are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. No, I'm not a Ritvik, it's okay. Just in the same way as all of us who have actually had the fortune of being initiated by Srila Prabhupada, we're also disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That's a fact. We may be grand disciples or great grand disciples or whatever, but still we are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Sureshwara Prabhu, who was here for a while, we were discussing, and I think he mentioned it in his class, how really this is a cooperative endeavor. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said quite clearly that your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate and how much you avoid making factions. It's an interesting statement, because for us, our love for Srila Prabhupada means our love for Krishna and our Krishna consciousness. So our Krishna consciousness is actually measured, according to Srila Prabhupada, by our ability to cooperate, to push on the Krishna consciousness movement, and to avoid making factions. Perhaps we think there may be other ways our love is manifest. We may think in terms of emotion or our ability to remember Krishna or sadhana and so on. And that may be true, but here Srila Prabhupada gives a very clear indication of how our Krishna consciousness will be exemplified. So that cooperation is also manifest in the system of parampara. Evam parampara prauktam imang rajasya vidu sakali neha mahata yogagnashta parantapa. Krishna is explaining in the fourth chapter how that jnana, divya jnana, comes down via the, originally via the sun god. I spoke it originally to the sun god in the first verse, then to Ikshvaku and Manu and so on, down through various Rajarishis. So this Krishna consciousness is coming through the entire disciplic succession. We have taken initiation into a disciplic succession in which Srila Prabhupada is a very key part and the founder acharya of ISKCON. So when we think about it, that expression of love, which is what that giving of knowledge is, cuts across all boundaries of time and space. It's not limited. Therefore, our relationship with Srila Prabhupada is very, very important. And how do we understand this disappearance day? Srila Prabhupada explains in his own, when speaking on the disappearance of his own spiritual master, that on the spiritual level, appearance and disappearance are the same. In the material world, they're definitely not. When we have a son or a daughter, we rejoice, birth. But when they pass away, then we lament. But on the spiritual platform, appearance and disappearance is the same. Actually, even on the material platform, it's the same. This najayati mriyati vahakadajan nayambudvabhavitanam. The self is not born and does not die. That's a fact. But especially on the spiritual platform, there is no difference between the appearance and disappearance. And yet, spiritual life is full of variety. And therefore, there is a difference between the appearance day and the disappearance. Therefore, Mother Jayabhadra said, we do not celebrate the disappearance day, but because there's variety, I'm going to slightly disagree. You're right. At the same time, we also do celebrate the disappearance day. Spiritual life is full, it's complete, purnam. Everything that is there in the material life, or what we're looking for in material life, is also there in spiritual life, is really there in spiritual life. So this, there is variety there. And therefore on the disappearance day, we lament that we've lost the association of that person. But we rejoice and celebrate that they've gone back to the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. So there are these conflicting emotions on this day. There's a mixture of emotions. Also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was feeling those emotions, they were mixed. There was a sweetness and a bitterness at the same time. So it's very complete. On this day, we actually recall how we've lost that association. And some of the emotions that go on. Personally, I never, my feeling was always, I should have had more love for Srila Prabhupada. I didn't always feel that affection that my god brothers and god sisters had. But I do remember the time Srila Prabhupada left, I came back to the temple in Berry Place. And I knew something was going on. There was a Guru Puja going on, but I ignored it and went upstairs and took a shower. But I knew something was wrong. So there was that tendency to deny that something has happened. And then I discovered Srila Prabhupada had left. But this is the... these are some of the mixed feelings we have. And you mentioned also, Mother Jayabhadra, an important point in a letter to Hangsa Dutta on the 22nd of June 1970. Srila Prabhupada wrote, we are not separated actually. There are two, Vani or Vapu. So Vapu is physical presence and Vani is presence by the vibration, but they are all the same. So Krishna, when he was physically present before Arjuna, is the same when he is present before us by his vani of Bhagavad Gita. So far I am concerned, I do not factually feel any separation from my spiritual master because I am trying to serve him according to his desire. That should be the motto. If you kindly try to fulfill my mission for which you have been sent there, that will be our constant association. And then in a letter to Tushita Krishna from Ahmedabad, 14th of December, 1972. Next you ask, if I am present in my picture and form. Yes, in form as well as in teaching. To carry out the teaching of the guru is more important than to worship the form, but neither of them should be neglected. Form is called vapu and teaching is called vani. Both should be worshipped, But Vani is more important than Vapu. Interesting. So this ability to follow the orders of the spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada transcend all limitations of time and space. However, at the same time, we need the association of Vaishnavas who embody the Vani, the teachings of Krishna. That gives us some tangible taste for Krishna consciousness. I was thinking the other morning, in the morning program, how there's a tendency in religion to aspire for something later. You may have actually even had your temple authorities give you blessings that later on you will become Krishna conscious if now you do some service. So it's something that's going to come later. Mm-hmm. Shreyas and prayas. We also have the same idea. And yet, in Krishna consciousness, there is that tangible experience here and now in this very temple room before the deity. That sense of immediacy. We have a spiritual experience, and that is extremely powerful. Therefore, when we come in the association of those who are pure Vaishnavas, we feel something different. Isn't it true? There is a different mentality. There is a different demeanor. There is a different feeling. And that is powerful when we enjoy that association of the pure devotee. And therefore, when he or she leaves, immediately we feel that overwhelming loss. However, there are many instances of this happening. Also, Srila Prabhupada was alluding to when Krishna himself left and Arjuna was overwhelmed with lamentation from him. I mean, they were good friends, so close that they used to joke, and sometimes they would, as Kshatriyas, they would boast about who what battles they'd won, and Arjuna would chide Krishna, saying, "You are right." He was being sarcastic. "Yeah, you're not exaggerating." They were that close. So naturally they felt, Arjuna felt that separation. This is the importance of the Vapu, that we feel we have that example of someone who is actually Krishna conscious. I'd like to move on by just reading a little something from the Lilamrita, just to give you some idea of Srila Prabhupada as he was as a person. I think it was one academic, I think it was Tom Hopkins, made the remark that Srila Prabhupada demonstrated how one can be a saintly person and simultaneously, or one can be a saint and simultaneously a real person full of attributes and personality, not like some vague, retiring mystic who's rather bland. You know the type? He could actually be a person. Personally, I found that very attractive. It's unusual. So I'd like to read a little bit on that, something about Srila Prabhupada. And I thought one interesting aspect of Srila Prabhupada was his own strictness with religious observances. He was sometimes very tolerant with his disciples, but actually for his own spiritual observances, he was very strict. When Abhay was 1.5 years old, he fell ill with typhoid. The family physician, Dr. Bose, prescribed chicken broth. "No," Gormohan protested, "I cannot allow it." "Yes, otherwise he will die." "But we are not meat eaters," Gormohan pleaded. "We cannot prepare chicken in our kitchen." "Don't mind," Dr. Bose said. "I shall prepare it in my house and bring it in a jar, and you can simply..." "Okay," Gormohan assented. "If it is necessary for my son to live..." So the doctor came with his chicken broth and offered it to Abhay, who immediately began to vomit. "All right," the doctor admitted. "Never mind, this is no good." Gormohan then threw the chicken broth away, and Abhay gradually recovered from the typhoid without having to eat meat. I was actually speculating that maybe the vomiting actually got rid of the disease. I don't know. But interesting pastime. Later on, Srila Prabhupada went to Jagannath Puri, and he was very shocked to find that he was very happy to go there, but he was shocked to find that actually he saw a lump of something in a pot, and he asked his host, "What's that?" And the host said, "It's meat." And then Srila Prabhupada never ate there again. Srila Prabhupada was also interesting for being not only very heartfelt, but also very logical, and always referring to Shastra. His name, of course, is extremely important, Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti means devotion, which really refers ultimately to feelings, feelings of love and devotion. But also Vedanta means the conclusion of all the Vedas. It means the conclusion of all knowledge, because Veda doesn't just mean a specific body of text, but it means generically knowledge. So the conclusion of all knowledge. So a wonderful blend of heart and head. We meet people who are very heady intellectuals, but they can be really dry. Go to Oxford, you'll know what I mean. Very dry. And we meet people who are very emotional and heartfelt, but some very often they're sentimental. We're soft-hearted, but we can be easily swayed. Srila Prabhupada had both. But I thought I'd read a couple of quotes on Srila Prabhupada's stress on logic. But faith should not be blind. Blind faith is useless. Now we have already discussed that one should go to the spiritual master with surrender, inquiry, and service. Three things. First of all, for acquiring knowledge, we have to find out the suitable person. And if we are fortunate enough to do that, then the first thing is to surrender. Srila Prabhupada sometimes refused to speak or give instruction until someone had surrendered. He said, "First you surrender, then I'm going to answer your question." And after that surrender, there are questions. We must be very intelligent to put questions to the spiritual master. Without questions, you cannot make progress. So blind faith is never required, nor should questions be in a mood of challenge. Two things shouldn't be there. Blind faith, nor challenging too intelligent. But not too intelligent, but intelligent, you can't be too intelligent, but intelligent without surrender. Or so-called intelligence without surrender. Questions or answers should be just to understand. And that should be accompanied with service. That is the correct mood. That's from a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 39. In New York, 24th of August, 1966. Another quote from a lecture in Bombay on the 24th of March, 1977, so not so long before Srila Prabhupada's departure. Everything is full of sense and logic, and the exchange of views between the master and disciple is possible when the reception is submissive and real. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one should receive the teaching of Lord Chaitanya with intellect and full senses, so that one can logically understand the great mission. So just to demonstrate how Srila Prabhupada had this kind of logical approach, even early on, I'll read another section. One day in the market, Abhay saw a toy gun he wanted. His father said no, and Abhay started to cry. All right, Gormohan said, and he bought the gun. Then Abhay wanted another gun. You already have one, his father said. Why do you want another one? One for each hand, Abhay cried. And he lay down in the street, kicking his feet. When Gormohan agreed to get the second gun, Abhay was pacified. Quite logical. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, was also very Krishna conscious from the beginning of his life. And Srila Prabhupada, and actually Satsarupa Maharaj writes in the Leelamrita, in Abai's childhood play, his younger sister, Bhavatarini, was often his assistant. Together they would go to see the Radha Govinda deities in the Mulik's temple. In their play, whenever they encountered obstacles, they would pray to God for help. Please, Krishna, help us fly this kite. They would call as they ran along trying to put their kite into flight. So in one sense, they appear like children. They're playing with kites and so on, or guns. But still, that connection with Krishna is there. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by one reporter, when did you become Krishna conscious? And Srila Prabhupada was hesitant to reply, but he, after all, one shouldn't ask always such intimate questions of the spiritual master. There is a place for privacy in spiritual life and one's own personal relationship, and one should not, one should respect that in spiritual life. But he did say, he replied ultimately, that I've always remembered Krishna. Oh, did he once? Oh. Also at the age of 5? You heard 5. Okay, different opinions. Srila Prabhupada does mention that sometimes the pure devotee may forget his relationship with Krishna because the material nature is so powerful. But Krishna will always come and save him and remind him. Interesting. We see that a lot also in stories of Vaishnavas. They may have relatives who are devotees and then they go astray, and then at some point they think, I must go and remind them. So somehow or other Krishna protects his devotees like that. Also, I'll read another passage. Abai wanted to have his own cart and to perform his own Ratha Yatra, and naturally he turned to his father for help. Gaur Mohan agreed. Gaur Mohan, his father, was always very lenient. His mother was the one who was very strict. But there were difficulties. When he took his son to several carpenter shops, he found that he could not afford to have the cart made. On their way home, Abai began crying. And an old Bengali, not without desire. Spiritual life doesn't mean give up desire. And when desire is frustrated, then tears come. Abai began crying, and an old Bengali woman approached and asked him what the matter was. Gaur Mohan explained that the boy wanted a Ratha Yatra cart, but that he couldn't afford to have one made. Oh, I have a cart, the woman said. And she invited Gaur Mohan and Abai to her place and showed them the cart. It looked old, but it was still operable. And it was just the right size, about 3 foot high. Gaur Mohan purchased it and helped to restore and decorate it. Father and son together constructed 16 supporting columns and placed a canopy on top, resembling as closely as possible the ones on the big carts in Puri. They also attached the traditional wooden horse and driver to the front of the cart. Abai insisted, notice his nature, that it must look authentic. Gaur Mohan brought paints, and Abai personally painted the cart, copying the Puri originals. His enthusiasm was great, and he became an assistant organizer of various aspects of the festival. But when he tried to make fireworks for the occasion from a book that gave illustrated descriptions of the process, his mother, Rajani, intervened. What is also interesting is later on when Srila Prabhupada, he went to school, he was very reluctant to go to school. He had to be dragged to school. They hired someone. He was tired. He didn't like that, go to school. And also a sign of perhaps intelligence. Many intelligent people never get on very well with school for various reasons. There was a story when they started to play football, he decided to be a goalkeeper so he wouldn't have to run. So that intelligence was there from the beginning. Later he went to Scottish Church's College, I think founded by, was it William Duff, famous college. What is very interesting is Srila Prabhupada's attitude towards his professors, who were largely of British and Scottish origin. But it's interesting how he didn't really take in it. He wasn't very impressed with Western philosophy and Western thought, that's true. But he was always very respectful. Srila Prabhupada, we respected our professors as our fathers. The relationship between the students and the professors was very good. The Vice Chancellor, Professor W.S. Urquhart, was a perfect and kind-hearted gentleman with whom we sometimes joked. In my first year, I studied English and Sanskrit. In my second year, Sanskrit and philosophy. Then philosophy and economics. Another professor was J.C. Scrimgeour. He was a professor of English literature. While teaching English literature, he would give parallel passages from Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. So yes, he would say, your Bankim Babu says like this. So he was kind of comparing the two cultures. He had studied Bankim's literature and he compared Bankim Chandra Chatterjee to Walter Scott. In those days, Dickens and Sir Walter Scott were two very great English literary men. So he taught us these novelists and the relationship was very nice. Actually, Srila Prabhupada later on, when he was talking about his own offering to Srila Prabhupada, in which he compared the appearance day of his spiritual master to the month of May, he said, I had heard that in the West, May was a very important and beautiful month, and therefore I wrote that. Interesting. Interesting how Srila Prabhupada was very respectful to his professors. And was very enthusiastic to visit Scotland when he actually came to the UK. He went to Edinburgh, which was a long way away and only a very small temple, but actually visited Scotland. We British may be a little biased, but anyway. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture I listened to recently, and I think I've mentioned this, he actually was speaking on the word dhira. And he actually explains it a little. Dhira means this. And he says, precisely, dhira means gentleman. I was kind of shocked because I was thinking a precise description is going to be some Sanskrit verse. And he says, gentleman. While studying Kalidasa's Kumara Sambhava in Sanskrit, as a student, I think, Abhay was impressed by Kalidasa's explanation of the word dhira, which means undisturbed or self-controlled. According to Kalidas, once long ago, Lord Shiva was sitting in deep meditation. Because the demigods were at war with the demons, as they usually are, they wanted a commander-in-chief born from the semen of Lord Shiva. So the demigods sent a beautiful young girl, Parvati, to interrupt his meditation. Quite a standard kind of plot from our tradition, repeated storyline. Parvati, of course, had just previously been Sati, and she had committed suicide, as it were, by burning her body. That's where we get the phrase Sati, to perform Sati from. Although Parvati worshipped Lord Shiva and even touched his genitals, he was not disturbed. His resistance to temptation was so great, and he was the perfect example of being dhira. Interesting, my own impression of me when I first saw Srila Prabhupada for the first time was of someone who was completely fixed. Generally, we look at someone, we can see there is some flickering of the mind or something. We detect some disturbance, if you're a businessman or something, particularly they look to see if this person got some weakness. But with Srila Prabhupada, there was that feeling of complete immovability, I would describe it. That whatever happened, he would be undisturbed. Very attractive quality to be with someone who's dhira. Very powerful. A little bit on Srila Prabhupada's relationship with his spiritual master, whom he met in 1922. And after that first meeting, of course, Srila Prabhupada was a follower of Gandhi. He was dressed in khadi. And he was actually aligned to the nationalist movement to get the British out of India. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, Lord, Chaitanya's message is so important, it cannot wait for some political adjustment. So Srila Prabhupada was very impressed. And he, in the Lilamrita, there is a quote by Srila Prabhupada, I accepted him as my spiritual master immediately. Not officially, but in my heart, I was thinking that I had met a very nice, saintly person. So one generally recognizes one's spiritual teacher. There is that concept that you'll know. Another interesting occurrence, or an interesting feature perhaps of the relationship between Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master, which is exemplary for us all, is that he didn't actually necessarily want to go on pilgrimage and see all the sights, but was most interested in listening to his spiritual master. I've lost some of the English here, but Srila Prabhupada heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was going to Mathura the next morning and that he would speak Harikatha that evening. There was an announcement. Actually, this is an announcement, so I've got this wrong. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is going to Mathura tomorrow morning and he will speak Harikatha this evening. Anyone who wants may remain, or otherwise they may go to see Seshashayi Vishnu. So at that time, I think, Srila Prabhupada says, only 10 or 12 men remained. Sridhar Maharaj was one of them, and I thought it wise. What can I see at this Seshashayi? Let me hear what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati will speak. Let me hear. And actually, this is what endeared Srila Prabhupada to his spiritual master, was his enthusiasm for hearing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said in Allahabad, yes, he said, exchanging looks with Abai, he likes to hear. He does not go away. I have marked him. I will accept him as his disciple. Actually, Srila Prabhupada had quite a close relationship with his spiritual master. It was sometimes rather informal compared to his own godbrothers. And Srila Prabhupada says, whenever I met my Guru Maharaj, he'd always treat me very affectionately. Sometimes my godbrothers would criticize because I would talk a little freely with him. Not so perhaps so much awe and reverence or deference or whatever. And they would quote the English saying, this is interesting, listen to this. They would quote the English saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Again, Srila Prabhupada is quoting a saying he learned. You know that saying? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. In other words, sometimes we may think we're very brave, but actually we are fools rushing in where those who are devas or angels will be a little careful. Discretion is the better part of valor, they say. But I would think, fool? Well, maybe. But that is the way I am. My Guru Maharaj was always very, very, very affectionate to me. When I offered obeisance, he used to return, Dasosmi, I am your servant. Abhay went on listening to his spiritual master at every opportunity, but rarely did Abhay put a philosophical inquiry before him. He preferred simply to listen. Quote by Srila Prabhupada, I never asked my spiritual master a question except one. How shall I serve you? That's interesting, isn't it? Perhaps we could try and remember that question for our own spiritual master or for other devotees. Mm-hmm. Maybe Srila Prabhupada has said philosophical inquiry is important, but at some point the question must arise in our heart to our spiritual master, what do you want me to do? We have our own desires. Srila Prabhupada actually mentions in one place that when we start to think, oh, I could do this for the deity, oh, I could engage in deity work, or maybe I should be a cook, or maybe I should go and sing. He says, we are advancing. Rather than just someone telling us what to do, we're beginning to meditate. What I would like to do for, they said, that's advancement. But ultimately that question arises in our hearts. What does my spiritual master want me to do now? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so happy when Srila Prabhupada, he read the Vyasa Puja offering, the one I referred to, Sweeter Than May. And he particularly liked one stanza, one verse, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would actually show it to many of his guests. Again, the importance of pleasing the spiritual master. And the verse is, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. Mm-hmm. I'll read it again. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, that thou hast moved. So real spiritual life means understanding the mood and the heart of the spiritual master, what he wants. That is love. When you understand what someone wants, even before, there are different levels, we may actually abide by what they wish, but higher than that is when we actually anticipate what the one we love, the beloved, wants. We anticipate, we know their heart. So when we meet someone who we think, this person understands me, who I really am, then that person becomes very dear to us, automatically, in this world also. And in the spiritual world, it's the same principle. They become very dear to us. So when the disciple understands what the spiritual master wants and acts on that, takes the initiative, then the spiritual master feels very, very pleased. So on this day, it is useful for us to, in feeling separation from Srila Prabhupada, to try and understand what he wants, because this is the way in which devotees deal with the lamentation they feel. Arjuna also, when Krishna left, he started to meditate on the instructions the Lord had given in the Bhagavad Gita, and he felt pacified. Not only pacified, but he realized that the Lord is there in those instructions. Therefore, this really exemplifies the fact that this love, for which everyone hankers, transcends time, place and circumstance, and it's there. We can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his instructions. That is an important meditation for us today. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Comments or questions or other pastimes, please. It'd be interesting to find out what we all like. I've identified with various aspects of Srila Prabhupada's life. The fact he was mischievous, I like that. I'm sure we all have some some aspects of Srila Prabhupada with which we personally identify. Yes, Radha Seva. Louder. Do you want the mic? Okay. Can someone take this, please?
I just want to share one story from Prabhupada's disciple. First of all, I'm sorry, I heard the story in the beginning of 19th, that's why I don't remember all the details, but it's so inspiring that I do remember it till now. I don't remember the name of this Prabhupada disciple. He was in charge in BBT in 1992 or 1993, I don't remember his name. He said that when Prabhupada, he was in that planet and that was this Leela, which Mataji Jayabhadra pointed, that they didn't know will he left body or not. And disciples, they keep asking him to not to leave body, to leave them. And he was on the way to Vrindavan, but he had a problem with visa, and he went to Rome to get his visa. And when he reached the temple, he found out that he went upstairs to the temple president. At that moment, temple president just threw the phone in the wall and smashed this phone. It was broken. He started to shout and cry, and he said no, and was like very, very emotional. He came down, and they started kirtan, and everybody found out that Prabhupada left body. And he said, on the way back, I was in the train, and I was thinking, how he was a very big book distributor during that time. He said, I was thinking how I'm going to distribute the books, because he said during that time I was thinking that what we can do is because of Prabhupada. And now Prabhupada left, how I'm going to distribute books? It's not possible. There's no way to go and distribute books because, you know, we don't have power. And for several weeks he couldn't go because he was very, very depressed, and you know. But after some times he went to distribute books and he saw that people, they took the books, and he felt that Prabhupada with us. And he was such an ecstasy that he started to distribute actually more books than he distributed before.
Any other comments or questions? Jai Bhadra?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice one. And also the feelings of if there are feelings of lamentation, they should be turned into looking towards the future. That is spiritual life. What can we do to actually push on this movement for Srila Prabhupada if we feel that gratitude for all the endeavor that Srila Prabhupada put into spreading Krishna consciousness, even in Tompkins Square beneath that famous tree? Then, you know, we should feel some inspiration to push on Krishna consciousness. That should be really our meditation. How can we share what we have with others in the appropriate way? And particularly because on this day we see the importance of consistency between Vanu and Vapu, we also could meditate on, one, understanding the teachings and studying the teachings, but secondly, embodying those teachings. Do we actually live a life which is exemplary to others? Is our company, association good? Are people inspired by our association? Do we embody, have we assimilated Srila Prabhupada's teachings into our lives? Mm-hmm. Extremely important that we're able to do that, so that when people meet us, they are inspired. Mm-hmm. It is of little use glorifying Srila Prabhupada if we ourselves are not exemplary. It's actually a disservice. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada sometimes, when he was referring to Vyasa Pooja, talked about a festival of fruits and flowers. That's there. That must be there, the fruits and the flowers and the worship and so on. But there must also be that character that comes through being Krishna conscious and which is inspiring to others. Personally, I think that my own coming to Krishna consciousness was because of the devotees I met and how they were as individuals. They were just... there was something about... I met a devotee in Birmingham outside the... Birmingham's not a very inspiring city, if anyone's been there in the UK. Industrial city. But I met a devotee outside the... We used to call it the ramp outside the railway station. And it was extremely busy. And this devotee was selling books. And he seemed to be really self-centered. There was just something about him. Everyone else was following their minds at breakneck speed. And yet he was actually very peaceful in the midst of such confusion. And that had a great impression on me. And then he showed me and my brother, who was with me, the symptoms of ecstasy from the nectar of instruction, a nectar of devotion. I don't know why. Generally, devotees didn't distribute that so much. And it's not what we usually share with non-devotees. And I thought, yeah, this is pretty good. That sounds like happiness. Mm-hmm. So that impression was... Later on, we met another devotee who actually told us, he said, because we were dressed as hippies, that was the mood. He said, this drug, sex, rock and roll, it's all subtle sense gratification. And me and my brother walked away and we looked at each other and said, what's subtle about drug, sex, and rock and roll? He was a nice devotee still, but we... So that the quality of the association is extremely important. And we should become good association. That is something perhaps to meditate on. Through applying the instructions, by internalizing them, we actually become good association, which must actually become a source of happiness. And shelter. And that was Srila Prabhupada. I mean, abhicharan, fearless, dhira. There was a great security one had from being in his association because of that. Whatever happened, you could feel comfortable with that. There was great security, very appealing. So we also should become like that, good company. And we should start with ourselves. We should be good company for ourselves and others. Perhaps a message we can take with us from today, even though we feel that separation. Let's look to the future and understand Srila Prabhupada is with us now. And in our attempts to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we want to glorify him, then we need to actually become Krishna conscious ourselves. That is the meaning of initiation. Meaning of initiation into the Sampradaya, into this great cosmic collaboration. It's not that we just are going to chant 16 rounds, which is important, nor follow the regulative principles, which is important, but we're actually taking a vow to become Krishna conscious. It may take some time, but one point in the Lilamrita I read yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was saying something like, so I met my spiritual master and I got this instruction in 1930, I think it was 33. He took initiation in 33, met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 22, 11 years later. He took initiation, he said, and in 1965 or 66, I managed to found ISKCON. So 42 or 43 years it took. So that may be the case. We may not always fulfill the order of our spiritual master due to either internal or external obstacles, but actually we should actually have that aspiration that on someday or other I will attain that uttama gati si shiguru charane rati. I will have that firm attachment to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. And actually, if you read Srila Prabhupada's life as an example, even though it's full of so much dynamism and different phases and so on, his one quality, and this is how he accredited his success, was I just tried to please my spiritual master. And then he reflects on that moment when he read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasi atmika buddhi eke he kuru nandana bahu shakayanantista buddhiyo vyavasayanam. That verse says that those who are actually self-realized have that one fixed resolute purpose. They're fixed in purpose. Whereas most of us have many purposes. So sometimes we feel that acutely, that I have my interests with my house and my wife and all those, and those interests. And I also have my preaching. So we see the difference. And we become, in material consciousness, we become bewildered. That's the fact. We can never have that resolute determination unless you're foolish. Devotees sometimes complain, I cannot be determined about my sense gratification or my making money or whatever, although there's sometimes a misunderstanding there. Because we know, and everyone knows, so in the sense gratification business, we can't, unless we're really foolish, it's hard to have that determination. And we feel some difficulty, because sometimes we have to do those things as well. And therefore we have a tension. My worldly position and duties and pleasing, there's a tension. But here is a resolution to all those complexities. And Srila Prabhupada found that in reading that commentary by Srila Vishnavath Chakravarti Thakur, where he actually said that the question is to become resolute. How do I please my spiritual master? And therefore Srila Prabhupada's question, how may I serve you, is very important there. Because sometimes we should also develop our own desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. It should be our own desire, our own mission. It's not that it's going to be the same for everyone, is it? We have a shared mission in this room, but what is wonderful here is that everyone here can do the things I can't do, that you can sing this song very nicely, which I could never do in a million years in this life. That is wonderful. It is so wonderful that we have so many devotees can do all the services that we cannot do. That should be our meditation on cooperation, that we're so fortunate to have difference and variety. Mm-hmm. And yet, within all the complexity and the variety, there is one simple rule. How can I please my spiritual master? And we come to that position sometimes. In our struggles, we realize, I just need to do that. And, ye prasade pure sava ashaha. By his mercy, all my desires will be fulfilled. So we need to see that as we sit here in this wonderful room. There is a sense that this is a very special place. It is tangible. Even if we don't look to the more mystical aspects, it's a beautiful room. It is a palace. We're living like demigods and demigoddesses here. That's a fact. We feel it palpably. And that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He was under a tree. We're in this nice palace. That's a fact. We're very fortunate. So we can meditate. So we struggle with that. We think, oh, I have to do, and I speak for myself, I have to do this, I have to do that, I've got so much service to do. I've got to try very, and we have to try hard. But still to have that faith that actually by my spiritual master's pleasure, everything will come. Krishna can give us everything. There's no shortage of anything, even Lakshmi or money. It'll come. But Srila Prabhupada also gave us the example, 43 years. May take some time. So we shouldn't be impatient in spiritual life that we become Krishna conscious immediately. No. It's okay. We're where we are. We may lament somewhat that I'm not Krishna conscious, but then that in itself is good. Here we are. We have the association of the Vaishnavas. We have the wonderful temple room, their lordships. We just have to stay on that path. I think we're fasting today till midday. And the rest of the program, when is the next? Wonderful. So, thank you. I'd like to thank the previous speakers, Mother Jayabhadra, Rupa Manjari. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.